Yeah, welcome to my basement. This is, grab a seat anywhere that you want to.
Thanks, Vic.
My buddy Scott is here.
Do you mind if I sit over here on this old chair?
Yeah, just grab some of that duct tape, seal yourself into the chair.
How come a whole bunch of moths just flew out of this chair when I sat down in it?
Well, this is the way I roll. This is the dark, dingy game cave that I like to sneak myself into and,
turn
off all the lights.
There's something... Is that the boiler room over there? You have a boiler room down here?
No, that's my back subwoofer just heating up.
Is Freddy Krueger renting that room back there?
No. It's not that creepy in my basement.
It's not that creepy. There is the occasional spider. Yep. You have a spider that goes through. There's the 604 spider, and then there's the 617 spider in case you miss the 604.
Well, we live in Vancouver. That's what happens. The spider's got to get out of the rain.
I've never seen spiders like the ones you have here in the Pacific Northwest.
It's an important part of the ecology.
They don't seem to frighten you at all.
You know, nobody gives a shit about this stuff. They want to hear us talk about video games.
Well, I'm not ready to talk about video games. I'm still trying to just feel comfortable in this space. Recently, you had a visitor to your basement. Tell me about that.
Well, I was happily gaming away.
What were you playing? Do you remember?
Probably Mass Effect. And I heard a little scratching at the door. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Okay, because
I didn't know if it was at the door. I just heard the scratching.
Yes.
And it kept sort of happening again and again. I'm like, okay, is my cat Clyde trying to get into the back door? Because he's not allowed in the basement. He knocks over all my action figures.
Right.
And so finally I had enough, and I got up, and I went to the back door, and I opened it up and looked down. There's a skunk staring right at me. Like, oh, my God. And I think I vocalized, oh, my God. And I slammed the door right on the skunk's face. And then I'm, like, walking around going, okay, we're about to get skunk bombed. It's going to be terrible in the basement very soon.
We'll be able to use this door for a while.
But I think I scared him away. He was like, oh, my God, look at all those action figures. And he ran away.
Okay.
I think he got scared.
And he probably made a note on his map never to go to that area again of the map.
Yeah.
Because there's a man who will open a door and scream at you.
Yeah, scream, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like a woman.
There was one time I screamed like a woman. I was a kid, and I used to have this yellow Mazda. And I was driving on an old back road one night, and I was probably looking for a party or trying to pick up or drop off a girlfriend, my one girlfriend that I've ever had in my life. And I'm driving along, and just in and out of the headlights off to the left, I could see this something moving next to me. And I looked over, and this horse was galloping alongside my car, and I did the same exact thing. Ah! I'm just driving, looking. Ah!
Was there a headless man on top of it?
It might have been. I hit the gas. It wasn't a very powerful car. We didn't go very fast, and I couldn't get away from that horse fast enough.
There you go. Two game geeks scared by nature, running away from anything that's living and not involved in video games or movies.
Yes. So we are in the basement. It feels good to be down here. Thank you for having me over. I'm going to try to come over and visit you as often as I can.
Yeah. I think it's cool that we're doing a podcast finally and talking about stuff in a different kind of platform.
Well, we spend a lot of time together every day.
We make people sick of us in a lot of different ways, but not in a podcast form.
I probably spend more time with you than you do with your wife if you took out the sleeping hours.
We don't have to make that public, but it's probably
But we have a lot of conversations, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to get together in your basement and have some of the conversations, share some of the conversations that you and I usually have in the car on the way to a shoot or when we're changing our ties, you know, between shows. And we wanted to share those with the world, and so I'm excited. I'm excited to be down here.
The other thing that we want to do, too, is we're going to invite a lot of the people that work at Greedy on the shows that we make to participate and to be involved in this, because everybody is very smart and funny and has some great observations to make about this crazy, interactive, enjoyable world that we're in. And then we'll also have guests from video games and toys and comics and all kinds of stuff. We'll have them on the show from time to time, too.
And if there are things that you guys would like us to talk about on the show, you can always tweet them to us or go to our website and let us know what they are, and we'll be more than happy to cater to your needs.
Yes, we will.
So to speak.
Yes, we will.
We're very giving.
Let's talk about Ouya.
I know you want to talk about Ouya. That's all you want to talk about all week. That's all I've been hearing about for 48 hours now is Ouya. What's the... I know that by the time people hear this... The number of the Kickstarter will have...
It's made $100 billion already.
$100 billion.
It is. It's taken care of the debt issue in America. So it's taken over. The U.S. is out of debt.
Okay.
Thank you, Ouya.
Congratulations to Ouya.
Yes.
So what does Ouya mean?
I think they wanted something that has a little bit of a... it reminds me of Hoorah, you know? There's a bit of a... a sort of crazy energy associated with the phrase "Ooh-yah," you know. And I didn't make up this thing, but I like it.
If you were gonna make up a name for a console, would "Ooh-yah" be?
I like it. Yeah, yeah. I think it's kind of cool. I think. You know, they didn't get the sort of traditional spelling of what "Ooh-yah" would be. So I think when people look at the word, it's like they're trying to order a weird coffee or something.
Alien speak.
Yeah, but I think that the sound of that is kind of cool, and it's definitely game centric. What I like about this console is that it's trying to appeal to what consoles are, how they kind of exist in our memory, because all the consoles now aren't about games, it feels like, you know? It's like they're trying to keep up with every other form of technology and entertainment sort of delivery mechanism that's out there. And games are in the mix, but they aren't the most important element of the mix.
What I don't like about this console is that it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And it hasn't seen the light of day. And that makes it hard for me. I know you're a big dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
You're always dreaming. You're always spinning and drilling down and snowballing on all kinds of different topics.
Yeah.
But this, for me, it's all smoke and mirrors at this point. And I feel like there have been so many consoles with so much promise that have come and gone over the years. And
right.
I know this seems like a can't-miss proposition, but a lot of those consoles seemed like can't-miss propositions too, like Trip Hawkins and the 3DO. People were so excited for that thing.
Yeah.
And it just crashed and burned.
Well, the 3DO was pretty amazing when it came
absolutely.
Out. It was just way too soon and way too expensive, you know? And I think that's an interesting sort of phenomenon that Kickstarter has kind of been able to you know, sidestep around. There is an ability to utilize what's already existing and to manufacture something at a lower cost and have it pre-funded and also build your audience. I mean, these guys now have an install base of probably 20, 30,000 people already, and it's only been out, as we're recording this, a couple of days.
So the way this works is if you pony up with a couple hundred dollars,
mm-hmm.
and you put a couple hundred dollars.
I put $225 in, so I got the two controllers and my name etched onto the machine. And
that's the thing that's most curious to me is you can have your name etched onto the machine itself.
Yeah,
this machine that doesn't exist yet. Why would you do that? Why would you want to see Victor?
I'll tell you why. Because this is unprecedented.
This is Victor's Ooh-yah.
But this is history in the making. This is the consumer base, the install base, the gamer crowd being able to put the bricks into the foundation of a dream and to physicalize it and to actually walk away with a piece of technology that they helped to, you know, manufacture. And, you know, I'm a big...
Is it on the bottom or is it on the
front? I don't know where it is. I don't
care.
It's on the controllers as well. It's going to be my gamer tag.
Victor.
And I'm not going to say what I want my gamer tag to be just in case somebody else tries to steal it away.
Yeah,
but I just think it's cool that, you know, we're a part of this. But I'll tell you, the reason why this looked like a good deal to me is because of the names involved. And one that really stood out for me is Ed Freese, who I've known forever. He's actually the guy that was part of the original Xbox team. He worked at Microsoft for years. He was an employee at Microsoft that worked on Word, you know, made lots and lots of money and did very, very well with the company before he got involved with Xbox and brought the original Xbox to market. And he's a terrific guy. He actually introduced me to Charles Hirschhorn, who was the founder of G4. And that whole relationship that I built with G4 was precipitated by my relationship with Ed. So to see that he's involved with this, and the guy's a visionary person, he's always thinking ahead and always thinking what consumers would dig, to see that he's involved, and then to see the design team that's involved, and I forget the guy's name, but he runs a studio out of San Francisco. I actually had seen a segment on that studio on The Next List, which is a show that I dig on CNN, where Sanjay Gupta goes and visits all of these different places, which are dreamers. You know, there's usually shops or companies or manufacturing plants that are run by dreamers, and they try to reshape the way that we're going to interact with the world in some meaningful way. And that's what this company specializes in. And these are the guys that built the one laptop per child, the $100 laptop that was trying to be proliferated throughout Africa. And to see that those guys were involved in the design of this, I was like, yeah, this is cool. I would love one of those one laptops, you know, as a keepsake.
Well, you should buy one and send it to an African child.
I know.
That would be the right thing.
That would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, I'm totally skeptical about all this. I know. I feel like part of this.
You?
Part of the reason.
You?
Yeah, me. I'm a little skeptical.
Get out.
I know for the most part, I'm thought of as a very positive person. But this one time, I'm going to bet the other way. You know, I think the response has it's been overwhelming.
How can
sure.
you be skeptical now? I mean, like the it's been out for a few days, and the people that want this machine have already paid for it. The developers that can build for Android are already out there building games that will be perfectly to spec. Now they know they have a controller with a touch plate on the controller. So anything that can be designed for this thing is in production right now and will come out in March.
But you're buying something that doesn't exist yet. You know, in the old Western towns, they would have a guy, they'd call him a medicine man. He'd come into town and he would be hawking his wares. He would have something, you know, like some elixir that everyone in town would buy for, I don't know what they had back then, halfpence. They would pay halfpence for like a bottle of elixir.
Sure.
And you would buy it and you get it home and it was just rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm worried about.
You couldn't kickstart that elixir, though. You couldn't kickstart it. You couldn't be in on the ground floor with it back then.
But the other thing here, the reality is, if this doesn't work for whatever reason, you lose your $200. You don't get your personalized console and your personalized controllers.
No, that's that.
And then what are you going to do?
Then
where are you?
They're manufactured. They're guaranteed to be manufactured already. That's it. They raised their capital. They're going to do it.
All right. Well, we'll see if it sees the light of day.
You think they'll take all that money and there won't be an actual physical thing?
There are a lot of Kickstarters out there that don't go anywhere.
Well, they don't raise the money.
For sure.
That's the barometer, and they don't get the money unless they've raised the money. And they raised the money in about 8 hours.
All right, well, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I wish you the best with your personalized console. This is
I will let you come over to the basement and touch it.
Might or might not be here in 2000.
You won't be able to play it, but I'll let you touch it.
Might be here in 2013.
Okay.
Might be never. That's the other option.
So are you more excited than to play Wii U?
No, I'm not excited about that either. I'm not excited about anything right now.
No?
I'm excited to be here in the basement talking to you. I'm excited about the new Batman movie. That I'm excited about.
I am too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always have been, but it's building. And I have skepticism. I'm nothing that's been in the trailer.
Skeptical?
I know me. I'm skeptical about
what?
This thing. I get this waft of a little bit of disappointment coming off of The Dark Knight. You know, The Dark Knight was such an incredible experience and such a risky, direction for the Batman franchise to go with Heath Ledger just killing it as the Joker. I don't know how you follow that, you know? And I don't like the character of Bane anywhere near the Riddler or the Penguin
or the Joker,
for sure.
Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Because they're so well matched. They're just such a great... They're the real dynamic duo, the Joker and Batman. And,
absolutely.
You know, last weekend I was feeling a little down. You know, I got a lot going on in my life. I found a spider in my place. It was like a hairbrush running across the floor. The thing was huge.
And this episode brought to you by spiders.
Yeah, my cats, the deal is they're supposed to kill the spiders, but they didn't. So I ended up watching The Dark Knight again, and man alive, you forget how incredibly moving this is. And I'm a little worried about the new movie as well, because I don't know how you top that. I don't know how you make a better film.
Well, I don't know how Bane tops that. I mean, Tom Hardy is an awesome actor, and I like his work in anything that he does.
You made a crack about his height.
He's a short little dude.
You've worked with short people before.
I am a short person.
You're not really that short.
I'm probably about the same height as Tom Hardy is.
You're about regular size.
But Bane is supposed to be this giant Hulk-sized behemoth of a dude, so I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to CG it, and they haven't really shown any of that in the trailers, and I don't want to know until I see it. And so that's kind of worrying to me, because Bane, as we know in the books, he breaks Batman's back, and I think we're going to see a little bit of that type of action in this film.
You know, the question...
But if it's a short little guy that's reaching up to grab Batman and then to bend him over his knee and break his back, that's not going to be cool.
Like I know you're a big basketball fan, and you have your favorite teams, and you know I'm a big football fan, and I'm a huge fan of the New York Giants, who played in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
I could barely watch the game because it was just so overwhelming for me. How do you watch a Batman movie? It must just be too much for you.
I'll tell you,
your mind just must be scrambled. You must be just...
It's crazy, because the expectation and what I'm hoping the directors deliver, you know, I have a lot of investment and time invested into loving this character. But I tell you, watching the first Tim Burton one in 1989 was profound for me, because you could see Burton had gone through the books and he framed up shots to look like panels from classic comics and classic Batman tales, and I was totally blown away, you know, and I just loved, you know, Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Now, that being said, I think The Dark Knight is a better film than that. I even like Batman Begins a little bit better than that. But Christian Bale, I think he's a really solid, great actor, but there is something missing. There's a magnetism that's kind of missing in his work as Bruce Wayne.
Well, there was a sweetness about Michael Keaton that is missing from Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne. But this is a quibble inside of a quibble.
I know.
Like it's ridiculous.
And we are talking about incredibly articulate, multifaceted actors trying to embody a fairly straightforward, character that seems to have been etched in time as someone that just has one mission, and he's putting on his real mask is Bruce Wayne, actors can sink into meatier work than this. So I think that everybody has brought something kind of interesting to it.
So listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen, this is going to happen. You're going to put this movie in your eyes within a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And I hope you're ready for that.
I'm ready. I'm ready to see it.
Steal your loins. Gird your loins.
Well, speaking of loins, Anne Hathaway better out Michelle Pfeiffer, and that's another thing that I'm worried about.
I was hoping we could get through one podcast without you perving everything up.
No, I'm not perving. She's Catwoman.
I think there's a bit of a...
She's hot.
There's an undercurrent. It smells of perviness in here now.
Newsflash. Catwoman is hot.
Well, that's it for our first podcast from Vic's Basement. Next time, hopefully, we'll have
We'll
thoughts.
Be smarter.
Hopefully, we'll be smarter.
And funnier.
And probably a little fatter.
And maybe cleaner.
Thanks for listening.